Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program four delightful, exciting, wonderful, humorous individuals who are going to play Just a Minute. And they are seated on my right. It was great pleasure. We welcome back the fine comedian and that outstanding player of this game, Paul Merton. And sitting beside him, a lovely, clever presenter, comedian, actress, Sue Perkins, and seated on my left, that wonderful raconteur and brilliant author, Giles Brandreth. And seated beside him, we have the lovely, enchanting, brilliant actress and comedy performer, Lisa Tarbuck. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation or repetition or deviation. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp. She's going to help me with the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House. And we're going to start the show with Paul Merton. And Paul, what an interesting subject. If I could see into the future, will you tell us something about that subject in this game starting now?
Being in the areas of television and radio, you can sometimes record a programme in advance and look forward to it going out. In some ways, that is predicting or being able to see the future. For example, an excellent edition of Just a Minute that we're recording now will go out in the year 2009, be beamed...
Giles, your challenge.
Just a Minute is on the radio. He's talking about seeing things on the television in the future.
I said television and radio at the top.
Nope. Mm.
I think he conveyed that that these things would be seen. I mean, what did you say, actually? I don't know.
Pretty level of control I love about you, Nicholas. Yes.
Nicholas, am I expected to listen to what I'm saying? As well as I did say television and radio.
Yeah, I know you did. That's right. But I just thought I'd find out whether you definitely did or not.
Have you not got a seeing radio at home yet, Giles?
No.
You should step into the future.
So, Giles, that was an incorrect challenge.
I like to look at my microwave. That's fun enough for me.
So Paul gets a point for an incorrect challenge. He keeps the subject, and there are 44 seconds still available, Paul. If I could see into the future, starting now.
If I could see into the future, I would be able to lay bets on things like the FA Cup final or the Grand National, the boat race. Determine the winner before the actual result is played out. I would amass...
Sue...
I think repeat of played...
Yes, you could. There's a repetition of play. Well, listen, Sue, you have got a correct challenge. You have a point, of course, for that. You have 33 seconds available. If I could see into the future, starting now.
If I could see into the future, I would find any means at my disposal to conceive of seconds going forward where I didn't repeat or hesitate and deviate in any way, shape, or form. Instead, all I can see is a buzzer, hearing it distantly sounding as inevitably. I told you! I'm a seer!
I was providing a sound effect to go with that wonderful rendition, but then she enabled me to do so because there was a moment of hesitation.
There was.
A little fumble, a little stumble.
Darling, you were winding yourself up to such a pitch. Nobody could have kept going at that delivery style. There.
Least of all me.
Right. But you did wonders in the few seconds you were going. And Giles has a correct challenge. He has 18 seconds. Giles, tell us something about if I could see into the future, starting now.
If I could see into the future, I would be very surprised because my eyesight really is not what it used to be. I'd also be rather depressed because at the moment, of course, looking into the mirror, the vision that is before me is rather lovely.
A Sue challenge.
Slight hesitation?
A very slight one, but not enough to penalise.
And a repetition of because, I think.
I'm sorry, you can't have retrospective challenges. Your first challenge was for hesitation, and that was incorrect.
You are being a very difficult foal today.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to be fair and just within the rules of debate. With four brilliantly bright people all surrounding me, getting down me and trying to wind me up. Giles, an incorrect challenge. You needn't look like that. You can look happy now. And because you have 8 seconds to continue on, if I could see into the future, starting now.
As Nicholas and I know, the future really amounts to a lot of crossed-out names on the Christmas card list, which is very sad for us, because we have reached the age when...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Giles Brandreth. And at the end of that round, he has 3 points that you could have worked out for yourself if you'd wanted. Paul has one, Sue has one. And Lisa has yet to speak, but she's going to start now. And we've got the subject of Joe Public. I don't know whether you fancy it as a subject, but you try and talk on it for 60 seconds if you can, starting now.
Joe Public is the name given to the masses, or the common, ordinary, run-of-the-mill...
Yes, you were such...
It was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
It was
such a smart lady. She couldn't go beyond that run-of-the-mill people, right? So, Giles, it was a hesitation. 52 seconds. Joe Public's with you, starting now.
I was a member of Parliament. I have consequently had my fill of Joe Public. People who rejected me when I was giving them my all. The worst thing was meeting my constituents on a Friday night in the local public house. They would have a pint of beer in one hand.
Challenge.
You know what? That was an error. It was public and public, and public's in the word. Public house.
Yes.
I do apologise.
So you take it back?
I do take it back, although I'm a bit worried about you being in Parliament and letting all this out.
It's all over now. It's all over.
Thank God.
The people's
first. I agree, you're right. I don't think you'll get back in now.
No! No! And I don't want them because I've had my fill of Joe Public, as I'm about to explain if I'm given the chance.
All right. Don't get too upset. You might alienate this audience here as well as you...
Oh! Let's hear why Giles hates every single one of them.
Lisa, because you interrupted him, I'm afraid he has to get a point for that.
Don't encourage him.
40 seconds are available for you, Giles, on Joe Public, starting now.
The people in this room are extraordinarily physically attractive, whereas...
Sue, Charles.
Repetition of people.
To talk about people before. You talked right. About the people in the pub and so forth. Mm. Right. So, well, listen, Sue, a correct challenge, a point to you. Joe Public is now with you, and 37 seconds starting now.
As a member of Giles's Public, I looked on as he was Member of Parliament and thought, he seems like a rational, reasonable human being who must love his constituency so, and now I hear he has nothing but contempt for us. All of us are the same revolting scum.
Poor challenge.
Repetition of us.
Yes, that's right. She went so fast, so didn't want to pick it up, but you were right. Right, 25 seconds. Joe Public, with you, Paul, starting now.
The song written by Neil Innes, which his group The Ruttles plays, called Joe Public, in which he addresses the very idea that the national consensus that we have amongst our population is something that must be listened to. It used to be called the man on the Clapham Omnibus, but now Joe Public represents all that's decent about Britain, the British way of life, the whole reason... there's a march going on somewhere. Where are we going? Let's march down to Norway. Norway.
Giles was challenged you before you got marching.
I was turning towards Mosley.
Do you know what, though? I was with you. I would have stormed the barricades.
I know. Half the audience were up behind you there, yes. Yeah. Anyway, Giles, you challenged
Well, I can see why he's going to get elected. It was powerful stuff. He is the Barack Obama of South London. It's
but what he's is your... the Paul Merton of Washington.
You know, I'd settle for that.
What is your challenge within the rules of just a minute?
Hesitation. He got himself so involved in this oratory that there was a pause as he lifted his fist.
No, it was all dramatic effect. He was going with great panache and style. I mean, I was almost out the room with him. I was... no, I don't...
You put your coat on, didn't you? You put your coat on.
So, no, I don't think it was hesitation at all. No,
what do you think it was, then?
It was
fist lifting, that's completely illegal.
It was a complete, continuous tirade. Oration,
okay.
I should say.
I'll accept it.
You have to accept it. I'm the chairman and I give out the rules.
No, that's fine. I've always suspected it. It's clear that he's on drugs. I understand. I'm not against that. I'm on them myself. Class A, of course, because I'm a conservative.
Even in your drugs, you're a snob.
I'd like to give you both a bonus point as well, because we enjoyed it. But anyway, Paul, you didn't pause, as far as I was concerned, and you have 5 seconds left to tell us something more about Joe Public, starting now.
As I stand in the middle of this island, like so many of us, I think about the future and I say to Joe...
Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and with others in the round, he's now taking the lead just ahead. Oh, sorry, Giles is in the lead. I didn't realize you scored so many points, Giles. And Paul, you're trailing him by 2 points. Then come Sue Perkins and Lisa in that order, and Sue, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is the art of exaggeration. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Nicholas Parsons and I are to be married is an example of exaggeration. We merely...
Paul Charles.
That's desperation. That's not exaggeration. Let's be clear. Isn't it, Nicholas? Even you would agree with that.
I don't know whose side the desperation's on.
That's nice to know. Radically revisiting what I'm about to say, I tell you. It's off, Nicholas. The engagement's off. You can keep your ring. There you go.
No, there we are. I'm overwhelmed. Paul, it wasn't a correct challenge, but we did enjoy your interruption, so we give you a bonus point for that. Sue gets a point because she was interrupted, and she has 54 seconds to continue on the art of exaggeration, starting now.
The reality of our relationship is we merely brushed dry cheeks in welcome as I attended this performance at the esteemed BBC Theatre. We shook hands a little bit. I looked on and admired his silver fox-like stature. A gentleman so admired in light entertainment, the art of...
I was enjoying that. Why do you...
To admire. You can listen to it later. She'll do it all for you privately afterwards. But I think I heard the word admired twice.
Yes, you did, actually, but I was going to let it go because I was enjoying it. But you have a correct challenge, Charles. Well done. A point to you. 36 seconds. The art of exaggeration starting now.
Well, the 6 months that I spent with Jennifer Lopez were among the happiest of her life. It was she who introduced me to the art of the Swiss kiss, which is a French one through which you yodel. The noise was terrible, and there was a slight aftertaste of Ermental, but the beautiful lady said she would recall this the length and breadth of her entire life.
Paul Charles.
Sorry, what was that word she used there?
I explained that we were actually Swiss kissing. Her mouth was full of cheese.
Well, do you think Jennifer Lopez would pronounce that word with a mouthful of cheese?
I haven't really had a relationship with her, so I wouldn't know.
No.
Giles, you still have the subject with another point. 17 seconds. The art of exaggeration starting now.
The art of exaggeration requires credibility. It's always essential to make people believe that what you're saying might be true. So that when I met Mrs. Indira Gandhi, who was not as humorless as I thought, goose her, and she livened up the end.
We've had her length, and now we got goose. Now, you are not Swiss kissing Indira Gandhi.
No, it is very interesting. When I talk about sex in public, my mouth goes all wobbly. I've noticed that. I shall try and avoid it for the rest
Giles,
of the
time. Giles, I gave you the benefit of the doubt last time.
Yeah, I'm now giving too much information. I will retreat.
No. The benefit of the doubt goes to Sue, because that was just a bit too much, I thought. Sue, you have the subject of art of exaggeration again. 6 seconds are left, starting now.
I was on a trampette naked with Russ Abbott when he turned to me and said, "The chinchilla is always my favourite animal."
So Sue Perkins was then speaking as a whistle wind, gained that extra point. She's moved forward. She's equal now with Paul Merton in second place, just behind Giles, who's in the lead. Lisa's trailing them a little. And Giles, it's your turn to begin. The subject, I don't know why they've given this one to you, tomboys. Can you tell us something about tomboys in this game, starting now?
Tomboys, don't you just love them? All the advantages of a woman with the ability to chop wood. I adore a girl who can handle a chopper and at the same time unscrew a jar without banging it on the floor.
Lisa, it's a challenge.
I'm terrified here. I'm going to stop him for, I'm going to say deviation.
Why?
I'm clutching at straws, but he's frightening me.
Is it within your power to issue an ASMO?
He needs an ankle bracelet. He needs electronically tagging.
I think he does need a word of caution. I mean, especially Lisa was sitting gently beside you, and she was really getting quite inhibited by your... I'm sure he explained to my listeners the most manic gestures he was using to illustrate
what
he was talking
chopper.
About.
I wasn't too sure about
tomboys. What I loved as well, the twin poles of feminine experience were chopping along and smashing a jar.
It was unscrewing. And I think actually that was an exaggeration, therefore deviation of a typical tomboy. They're not as...
No, that's the whole point. They can take a jar and they, instead of you and I have to bang
it on the floor. No, tomboys are ones...
Don't change your voice suddenly to make him believe you.
Lisa has. It was an exaggeration of what a tomboy is. A tomboy doesn't go to that...
I don't know, but...
Yeah, I do know, and I'm saying it. Right. That would be an over-masculated girl. Right. Lisa, you have the subject of tomboys, and there are 48 seconds now.
A girl who might be considered to play boys' games, i.e. light fires or make camps, could be called a tomboy. As a child, I was into those sort of things, but by the same token, I used to enjoy playing Barbie and dolls and drawing as well. So I think the term is somewhat archaic and possibly invented by somebody like Giles, who likes to buttonhole ladies into a certain place and possibly keep them there. For how long and under lock and key? I'm not entirely sure, but I am terrified.
Are you suggesting he's got some sort of cellar?
He's got a tomboy dungeon, that's what I'm saying. But all the little yes, ladies sir, that can unscrew jars and stare at a chopper go down into the basement.
So, Paul, what was your challenge within the rules of adjustment?
I don't want a challenge, I just want to be shown around the room.
Yeah, the tour.
The
tour. All right. Okay. Then. Well, give Paul, because I enjoyed his challenge, a bonus point. Lisa, you get a point because you were interrupted.
Thank you.
Keep the subject, and you have 20 seconds. Tomboys starting now.
In Giles's tomboy cellar.
Giles.
Repetition of Giles. One's always keeps the sound of one's own name.
Did I say Giles, or did I say Giles?
You said Giles three times. I
plural.
Was enjoying it.
Mm.
I was enjoying it. I was enjoying it.
You did refer to
look
Giles.
What I've written on the thing here.
Where 0773216. I won't tell you what I've written.
All right, so Giles, you get a point because it's a correct challenge. Lisa gets a point because we enjoyed her response to your remark. That's a bonus point to Lisa. And Giles, you have tomboy still. 19 seconds starting now.
Thick thighs, broad shoulders, butch, yet girly. The point is this, it's a combination of Peter Pan and Wendy. When I went to my analyst this afternoon, it was explained
so
to
challenged.
Me...
Since when did either Peter Pan or Wendy have big butch thighs? I mean, you can't fly if you've got big old thighs. You can't get airborne. Yes.
It's that fella from The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe in his dreams.
You're talking about Jeff Capes with wings. It doesn't exist. It's a fantasy.
This is actually quite delicate territory for me. You know, and if you're just going to walk all over my dreams like that.
Yeah, I think we ought to.
Well, I quite like it, actually.
But they're rather strange dreams.
They are.
Yes.
They are.
Yeah, he's a diversion from the theme of tomboy into Britain's strongest man, but airborne.
Sue, I agree with your challenge. You have tomboys and you have 10 seconds starting now.
Tomboys are beautiful adolescent creatures that like doing all sorts of things, but nonetheless get collared by stereotypes. So what? They want to climb trees and core apples and carry knives.
So, Sue Perkins brought the round to a close on that occasion, get that extra point for doing so, and I think hers was the best description of a tomboy of all the attempts that were made in that round.
Strange that, isn't it?
Nothing strange with you, Sue. You can encompass anything you want.
Crack nuts with those thighs.
Oh, yeah. I've just done an almond.
Lisa, will you take the next round? The subject is my voice. My voice is a subject. You have 60 seconds if you want them, starting now.
My voice is a tool that I've acquired over the years through smoking cheroots, drinking terps, and eating the fluff out of coats. I've arrived at this particular conclusion, and I'm quite happy with it, at least content. I can raise it, lower it, throw...
Trying to avoid the it, were you?
I was, actually, yes.
I thought so. Sue, you got in first.
Hesitation.
44 seconds. My voice, starting now.
My voice...
Hesitation, yes, Paul?
Yeah, oh, you to it. Point to Nicholas, you carry on the subject, starting now.
My hesitation.
I didn't realize it started.
That's right.
It goes quick, though.
For once, you speak so quickly, but for once, you didn't start.
Yes.
And
that's me for you, though, capricious.
And that's why I said it, because I'm listening like that. I know what the challenge will be if it comes in. So I actually put the challenge in before I said who gave it.
Yeah. It's good.
Yes.
It's interactive. It's almost like we're here together.
That's right. I like to explain to the listeners what is going on, my thought process. So
exactly.
It's all there. I mean, I don't know what order it's in, but it's all there.
43 seconds, Paul. My voice, starting now.
My voice has been trained by the Kennel Club of Great Britain. I make announcements on all the major railway termini in the country. The 1047 to Leeds has been diverted to Barcelona. Announcements that I make across the airwaves.
Sue challenged.
So I thought announcements? Was there a repetition of announcements?
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
I was so carried away, I thought someone would have a deviation, because I've never heard a railway announcement like that. There was a final station of Rockford Fire is coming to really. And they go, stand back, the doors are coming closer now. It's 4:45.
That's why you don't do it anymore.
I've never heard a distinctive plummy voice before, so you were correct, Challenger. My voice with you, 26 seconds, starting now.
Once upon a time, my voiceover agent rang to tell me that I had been requested specifically for an advertisement for diarrhea. I inquired, why is it that my tone should be used to support this idea of an ad campaign? Well, you just reeked of it, she said, with no irony. And therefore, when I switched on the radio, there I could hear myself dripping with irony to positively endorse...
Poor Challenger.
Is it a repetition of irony?
No, she hadn't used the word irony before.
Oh, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No.
Don't look to me, Nicholas.
No, I'm not. Right. So, benefit of the doubt, Sue, 4 seconds, starting now.
And indeed, I was shocked. It was a beautiful advertisement, as I've repeated that. God damn it.
Right, so Sue Perkins kept going then and
just
kept speaking once when the whistle went. So she's now actually equal with Giles in the lead, and they're about 4 points ahead.
I've never been in the lead, never before, Nicholas.
You have, definitely.
No, I haven't.
You won once.
No, I didn't. Oh, 1967, you're right. Ilfracombe Pavilion. Mm. Lovely.
Sue, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is now a nice topical London one, Cleopatra's Needle. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Cleopatra's Needle is 120 metres high. Unfortunately, we don't have her pinking shears, which were a good 300 in height. It stands at the embankment and overlooks the Thames and reminds us she was a cracking seamstress. Not only known for hanging around with Mark Antony and Caesar, she could...
Giles Challenge.
I've been brooding about this. And the deviation is that I think it couldn't possibly be 121 metres high. Think of a 100-metre race, how long it is. I think it's more likely to be 20 metres high, or around 60 feet. Oh. I don't think it could be...
I say we go there now.
120.
Giles, you are right, because she doesn't actually have a needle. It's just a phrase they use about that particular piece of statuary on the embankment.
No, it's an obelisk.
Oh, now, come on.
It's a big obelisk.
We've all had a drink. Let's not turn nasty.
No. Anyway, it is not 200 metres.
120.
Yeah. Well, it's not even 120.
Five.
I don't know how many.
Is that your final offer?
10. Yes.
Giles, you're right. She was exaggerating or deviating, as we say in this show. 44 seconds. Cleopatra's Needle, starting now.
Cleopatra's Needle, we didn't even know she was a junkie, but there is indeed an obelisk on the Thames embankment that is actually 68 feet high, or 21 metres. It's made of red granite and celebrates Cleopatra the VII. It was given to this country in 1832, as chance would have it, as a commemoration of Battle of the Nelson Nile. Well, actually, I was just getting a bit carried away.
Battle of the Nelson Nile.
Yeah, I know. I got a bit overexcited.
You can bandy facts at me, but I'll tell you what.
I think this is fair, because Giles during the week does work as a tourist guide. He's one of the open-top buses.
Is that what it is?
Yes, I got it all wrong. I got all...
No, you just said Nelson's Battle of the Nile, rather than Nile. Anyway, it wasn't correct. It was deviation, wasn't it, from Nelson's Battle of the Nile. So, Sue, you're in again with 23 seconds on Cleopatra's Needle, starting now.
Our other needle sits in Central Park in New York. I don't know why. There's no correlation between the two geographical locations, but nonetheless, they span the large ocean between them. She must have dropped one mid-sew and then trundle over here with the rest of her Roman gang in order to enjoy the clement weather we're experiencing and always have done throughout the mists of time. Other things she left knocking about the place.
So Sue Perkins, with great erudition, kept going until the whistle went, gained that extra point, and we're actually moving into the final round.
Oh,
yes, there we are. Oh, some of you are still awake. So let me give you the situation if we go into the final round. Sue Perkins is one ahead of Giles Brandreth, and I think you can keep your applause to the final end, because, I mean...
blow it. I've said that to John.
You really do want to win, don't you? Yeah. He really does want to win.
We were getting to that at the end of the tomboy sequence.
Yeah. And a few points behind them is Paul Merton and then Lisa Tarbuck bringing up the rear. And whose turn is it to begin? Giles, it's your turn to begin. Global warming. Good subjects. Talk on it, please, for in this game, starting now.
Global warming. All I can say is bring it on. I know it means that we will lose East Anglia, but you can't have everything in this life. And I have already been to Bungay and the coast around there, which apparently will be eroded when global warming really comes to be. The question, of course, is it a reality? Or is it, in fact, just a fantasy thought up by curious scientists to make us feel worried? The history of the world is making people anxious about things that don't truly materialise.
Paul Chalmers.
Making us a bit worried.
Making things happen.
But it was a sort of good little bit of thought for the day, didn't it?
It was, yeah. It was a touch of... they'll use that on Pick of the Week. They definitely will.
Definitely, yes. I don't know which Pick of the Week, probably in Azerbaijan or somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. They care about global warming there.
Yeah. You say that, but they've had some cracking radio this week. It'll be hard.
Anyway, Paul...
Goat FM is massive. Bad.
Anyway.
Goat FM?
Yeah.
Goat FM, right. Goat FM. Global warming is with you, Paul, now, and there are 36 seconds starting now.
There is some debate in the scientific community as to whether global warming exists or not. If you look at the ice shelf in Greenland, it appears to be coming off bit by chunk. And yet... that say global warming has been created by fantastic scientists who want to justify the huge amount of money they get from the various governments around the world. In all, it's why am I talking about this?
I don't know why you interrupted yourself. Anyway, Sue pressed a buzzer in that interruption, and so she's got in with 10 seconds on global warming starting now.
Of course it's happening. Look at the polar bear, a shadow of its former self wandering around the decimated ice caps, looking for fish as we all do on a bank holiday.
let me give you the final score. Lisa Tarbuck.
Yes.
Who's always charmed us whenever she's appeared on the show, did exactly the same again, but didn't get an awful lot of points. Paul Merton, who often is out there in the lead, finished up in third place. Giles, who always gives great value, finished in second place, but out in the lead, three ahead of Giles Brandreth. Sue Perkins, this week, you are our winner. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Sue Perkins, Lisa Tarbuck and Giles Brandreth. I also thank Sarah Sharp, who's kept the score for me so carefully and blown her whistle very delicately. We thank Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. We are indebted to our producer, Claire Jones, and of course we're very grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre. So from the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our panel, goodbye. Thank you for listening. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.